This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
And welcome to this special edition of Long Shots, the last chance for glory at the British Open, last chance to win a major in 2024. I am Dave Ross in for Matt Brown this week. What a pleasure to be joined by Wes Reynolds and Kelly Bidlin. I feel like, boys, that I got the call up to be with you guys for the fourth major and the last major of the year. So I couldn't be more excited to talk golf with you guys here at the British Open.
We need some fresh blood in here, okay, yes. Dave? Like, Matt's busy golfing this week, yeah. Okay?
I think Matt's playing a practice round at Royal Troon right now. So we'll catch up with Matt and figure out his travails. Yeah. But gentlemen, when you look at the odds board here for the Open Championship, we understand why Scottie Scheffler on any golf course these days is going to be the short shot to win this thing. Kelly, let me start off with you here. When you look at Scottie, do you have a "I can't play him" card because his number is too short thing, or how do we gauge Scottie?
You know what? No, because I just played him at the Travelers Championship at about this same number. Yes, we have some live guys that are in this tournament, so you would think it gets a little bit longer. Wes, I'm interested to talk about this with you. I think this is a fascinating topic to start with Scheffler. I do think because we're at the Open Championship, you get a little bit more, you know, variance when it comes to weather, and you don't know who might get struck by the ugly, you know, all it takes, it's an Open Championship. All it takes is a couple hours of bad weather at the wrong time, and everybody's golf game that's stuck in that can go off course. So that's a little bit what I'm reading into, Wes, of why you're seeing a little bit longer number on Scottie than we have seen in the past couple majors. I think there's a little bit of, Scottie, what, we haven't seen him since the Travelers,
so a little bit
out of sight, out of mind as well. I don't know how you feel about that price, Wes. It's not that the price was too short for me to bet, but with some of the randomness that you get at the Open every year, because of that, it became too short.
Right, and a couple different things, too. Scottie, by the way, he has been over in Scotland, was at Turnberry over the weekend prepping for this week at Royal Troon. If you look, three times he's played the Open, has never been bad here, 8th, 21st, and 23rd, so certainly respectable. So it's not like, oh, he can never play links golf, but I just think, like you said, with the weather variance and the fact that this is the most, I think, unpredictable. I think that this is the most challenging and maybe fun as a bettor and as a handicapper, but it's also the most difficult because it's not clear pinpoint, because you've had guys that have had time off, and if they even have been playing, they haven't been playing golf that really prepares them for this, unless maybe they played the Scottish at Renaissance last week. But you haven't had all these because they've been playing, like, when you look at data, that's why I think like some of the data that we usually do is a little bit foolhardy this week, because we're usually like, okay, strokes gained approach last 36 rounds or however many rounds going in. Well, a lot of these guys have been playing out of the Rocket Mortgage Classic, or they've been playing the John Deere or something like that are birdie fest, or, you know, guys on the Live Tour that are in, 17 Live players, by the way, in here this week, played Valderrama, which is a really difficult course, but really unlike this course that they're going to see this week, as the fairways were just so narrow and tree lined. So you really don't get a, like, okay, there've been a lot of links events, you know, going in, like an Irish Open, like a Scottish Open, because that's what they used to have. You used to have two or three links events, so you can get a good idea. So because you have that lack of form, that's why I think it's so wide open.
Rory is the second shortest shot on the board this week. I'm not sure if you guys were able to listen to Roars. It sounds like he's in a good headspace. I know everybody's still talking about what happened at Pinehurst at the U.S. Open, where it felt like that's the championship he just got. It gave away. He has not won in 10 years. Wes, let me start off with you. Do you look at the mental side of Rory and get a little bit concerned? It's been so long since he's closed.
I do a little bit. And look, he could very well win this week. This is the 10-year anniversary, of course, of Royal Liverpool, where he won his lone claret jug. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years, but, you know, I think he needed that time away. He did play solidly at the Scottish Open and ended up T4 last week. So in the mix, never really challenged for the lead on Sunday there at Renaissance, but he always has a chance. I'm not going to bet him necessarily at this price. I may go like a top 10 at even money or something like that, because the guy, you know, has obviously been tremendous on links over the years, and not just at the Open Championship, but elsewhere on the DP World Tour back in the old days. So, look, he could certainly win. I would actually like his chances a little bit better than Scottie Scheffler. Ooh. It's like if you made me bet one of the two,
sure,
I would probably go with Rory just because of all the experience here. If you look at the run, he was T6 here last year, third in 2022. So he has had a lot of runs, second in 2018, fourth in 2017, fifth in 2016. So since that win at Royal Liverpool in 2014, this is a guy that has five top sixes in the Open Championship. So he's going to probably be right there.
So, Kelly, I guess that's the question, right? Do you want to play Rory as an outright at 8-1 or look to those placement markets like Wes is doing? Because I do feel like he's always around. He just normally doesn't get in the winner's circle, at least in the last decade, at a major.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fine. You want to go Shoffley, McIlroy, Scheffler. If you want to look at them more in the finishing position markets, I think that's a way to approach them. Those three guys, though, I think that's where I'm drawing the line of. We're going to go over what our models spat out, later, and what we did dig into stat wise. I'm gonna guarantee that for me and Wes, all three of those guys are three of the top five guys, in kind of our rankings this week. But just where their odds are at and what might happen with weather and everything like that, I think if you're looking for an outright bet, I think you're better off going into this tournament looking to get in on one of those guys live. And I'm leaving some room on my card for that possibility. I think Scheffler at that number, and Rory too, I'd be interested in both. And Wes knows I'm not usually the biggest Rory McIlroy guy. but I think those are the guys to look. I'll be looking to get in live, involved live later in the tournament.
This is the week, and I know we'll go over some stats later in the program, but this is the week where you don't want to be a slave to the model.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't think, because of the weather draw bias, because of the fact that you have different statistical data. This is not as easy as when we have a boilerplate PGA Tour event, run the numbers, that's what they are, they make total sense. Well, now you've got to incorporate, some of the data or the limited data you get from LIV, the limited data you get from the DP World Tour, the Asian Tour, and this is 158 players from all over the world, all different tours. So this is a little bit harder to model this week.
Yeah, I was a little bit thrown when I saw that it's going to be 18 degrees on Thursday. And then I realized that's Celsius.
Yes, I know. You got to do the conversion.
Come on, man. We got to work on this.
Conversion table graphic for the folks at home.
And Wes, we're going to go over later on in the program. You're going to break down the course as it stands. Well, obviously, when you think of a British Open, you're going to think bunkers. And there are 101 bunkers that are going to be at Royal Troon set up for this par 71 course, 7,190 yards, that we're going to have only two holes that have water really in play for these guys here, if there's any danger there. When you look at that, obviously you got a big field, 158, you got 70, top 70 are going to make it and ties to make the cut here when we get to Friday. But again, you look back at 2016, and we've talked about it before, Wes, it does feel like there were just two outliers that week. And they happen to be the winner in Henrik Stenson at 20 under, and then some guy named Phil Mickelson who finished 17 under. And I went back and dug into their final rounds on that day. I mean, Phil, he didn't have a bogey on Sunday, shot a 6-under with an eagle, and still loses by 3 because Stenson shot a 63, 8-under, and opened up with a bogey in the first hole, by the way, boys. Do you throw out that stuff and say those two guys were the outliers?
A little bit, because look, Stenson, by the way, set the all-time record at the Open Championship with the 264. And I've been looking at this this course played easy, and it's gettable, don't get me wrong, but this is not as easy as a St. Andrews or something like that. There's a little bit more narrow fairways. You can get in more trouble, I think, on these courses, or on this particular course. But you look, third place was J.B. Holmes at 6-under par. I think there were 17 guys that were in red figures overall. So it really didn't play,
and that
as easy as you think.
Four overs at four line.
Yeah, exactly. So what Stenson and Mickelson, and going back and kind of looking through that, and I know they've been airing some of the best opens in history on Golf Channel this week in the buildup. Stenson and Mickelson, if you go back to that, they clubbed down a lot off the tee, and they took a lot of three woods. Mm. They took a lot of, and Stenson hit the best three wood in the world at that point in 2016, pit irons. So it is a little bit lengthier of a course this year, almost 200 yards in length, but this is not the bomb and gouge. This is not usually the strategy that's going to work here, because you will get in thick fescue rough here, and if you get in one of those pot bunkers off the fairway, especially – depending on the angle, because sometimes we see these guys, they hit it into the bank of the bunker right. all the time, you're basically, say, if you hit it in a bunker off the fairway, you're basically at least taking bogey.
And
that's your goal, is to save bogey on that hole.
And Kelly, guys, you're going to find bunkers when you got 101 of them on the course.
You're going to because you're going to be so dead set on hitting that fairway because, you know, we did have that graphic up before. Whenever you see 2 to 12 inches of rough that you're dealing with, you want to stay away from that. So, yes, you are going to definitely find those pod bunkers in the fairway because it is so important to keep your tee shot in the fairway. And I think as Wes and I talked to what we did end up factoring into our models and looking at heavily this week, for me, that was very important. I think it's a very, very interesting off the tee course setup this week because with those bunkers in the fairway, it also requires your distance control to be really, really, really good this week, right? So it is, I mean, we've got, what do we got, Wes? We got burns we're hitting over. We got bunkers we're hitting over.
There's a hole where you got a railroad track on a railway line from Glasgow to Ayr called Railway. I think it's the 11th hole.
So Dave, not only do you got to be down the middle, but you got to be not too long, not too short. You got to find the perfect spot. So off the tee is very, very important this week and interesting as we talk through it.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Right. We don't think of rough at an Open Championship, but you're right. And I heard Scotty say today they've gotten more rain over there than they have in years past. And that rough, if you do find it, it's going to be penal.
It's thicker because it's been warm. And as you mentioned, it's been rainy. Yeah. So a lot tougher to get it out of than normal.
And by the way, rain in the forecast for at least 2 of the 4 days this weekend at Rooks.
Good. I like it, man, because we're not getting any rain out here.
We're not getting any in our desert over here. Absolutely. All right. When we come back, let's talk about the course a little bit more, because sometimes you look at a British Open or, as they say, the Open Championship, sometimes the course wins. Will that be the case? Come on back. Long Shot's just getting cranked up for this British Open special. Welcome back to this special edition of Long Shots. The last chance for a major will happen at the Open, or as we as Americans say, the British Open. Always a point of contention. Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross coming at you here from Circus Sports, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Kelly, I got to start with you. Weatherman Kelly, I have no idea what the temperature is going to be. I think it's going to be in the 60s, but I'm not sure how the conversion
works.
Yeah, it's
like the high,
And I'm guessing it's going to rain.
It is, you're right. Yeah, Weatherman Kelly here for your usual report during Long Shots. Look, this is an event, Wes. You can chime in if you would, correct me if you want. We've got content to do, so we got to make some bets probably earlier than we would like to. I think that if you are betting at home, you want to have the best idea of what this weather forecast is really going to look like heading into the tournament. Having said that, and I know I've done this, Wes, paralysis by overanalysis, right? You wait too long, much on that. You try to predict the weather. Ask any weatherman out there who does this for a living, meteorologist, and ask them how accurate they are down in parts of the world like this. It's Scotland. Weather's going to pop up. It's going to be unpredictable. Thursday right now, though, what it's looking like as we record this show, it is Tuesday afternoon here in Las Vegas. We're going to get Thursday. It's going to be some rain. We're looking at 40-50% chance of rain. Bigger thing with golf, though, just like football, it is the wind. We're going to see about Thursday looks like it's going to be even pretty much throughout the day. We're about 15-mile-an-hour sustained winds, and you're getting gusts up to 24, 25. So not brutal for an Open. Friday right now is where it looks like later in the day on Friday, it could get pretty brutal from a wind perspective. That's when gusts are getting up into the 30s in that afternoon Friday spot. So keep that in mind for now. Just something I wanted to update everybody on. But if you are someone who's waiting to make their bets on Wednesday, which I will never blame you for on an Open Championship, keep refreshing this, check in on it, because this stuff changes every, I feel like I'm looking at something new every 3 hours I pull this up.
So. Yeah, don't get your DFS lineup in too early, and that's why a lot of my placement market stuff is going to be Wednesday, because I have more of an idea of the weather this week. So, look, should be fascinating, though, in terms of the course layout, which I'll get to here. I mentioned it has been lengthened about 200 yards, so it's a little bit less than 7,400 yards. I don't think that's going to, you know, make that much of a difference with how long these guys hit it anyway. But you've almost got like three unique courses here at Royal Troon. You've got holes 1 through 6, which are kind of like the birdie holes, right? Okay. These are the ones that kind of get a little bit easier. And then 7 through 12.
And let's keep that in mind for anybody looking to live bet this week. This could be this is a big, big thing where those first six holes can be scorable if that wind off the ocean is not too bad.
Yeah, absolutely. 7 through 12 is kind of the unique holes, but they're not like overwhelming. I mentioned that railway, the par four on the 11th. You've also got what they call the postage stamp, the par three eighth, which only measures at 123. It actually played on Saturday in the third round in 2016 here at 99 yards. Hole number eight, they call it the postage stamp. The green is only about 2,600 square feet. So it is a hard green to hit here. And the middle six, I think, is very unique. I mentioned that railway hole there on number 11. Arnold Palmer once said it was the most dangerous hole he'd ever seen back in 62. And in that same year, Jack Nicklaus actually was a tour rookie in 1962 and made a quintuple bogey 10 on this hole when it was a par 5.
I didn't know that Jack, the king could, the king of golf, could ever do that.
I know. I
was
shocked.
Worried a train rolled through when Wes said it was the most dangerous hole.
Well, Glasgow said
literally the most dangerous
hole. There was
actually,
I think in the last one, like I can't remember which player hit it on the train tracks. Actually, it goes from Glasgow Central to Ayr. This is about 30 miles away from Glasgow, this course here in Troon. And then the last six holes, I think, are the hardest on the course. I know Gary Player, I guess, was quoted as saying the back nine here when the wind's blowing might be the toughest in the world.
Wow.
Because the wind, by the way, 13 to 18, more often than not, is going to blow at the players.
Yeah. Yep.
It's downwind on the front nine, but on the back nine, they're going to blow. It's going to blow in your right in the players' faces. Greens here, not very big. They're bent POA Onwa mix, 4,500 square feet on average. So not the easiest greens to hit necessarily. So you're going to have to be sharp around the green.
Yep.
And the greens, when you look at the greens, if you've looked at those video flyovers that we're showing, if you're watching us on video for this program, they're very small on entry point, and then they get a little bit bigger towards the back. So you'll see guys aim for the back or aim for the center of the green. And these greens, by the way, are the slowest that they're going to putt on all year long. These can roll. I was doing research. These could roll as low as like 9.5 on the stint meter, which is astonishingly low, and especially when the wind blows.
You're going to get the undulations, all that stuff with the green complexes, but that's still, I know we're talking a major, that still helps level out the putt,
absolutely,
the field a little bit when it comes to putting. Yeah,
I was thinking the same thing, that this would help out quote-unquote bad putters.
Because that's the thing, like, you know, even if you're playing more in Europe and on the DP World Tour, you think, okay, that's a small advantage, but none of these guys are putting on greens this slow. I mean, these guys are usually on Bermuda. You know, whenever Kelly and I do this every single week, Dave, and we're looking at this, you know, how much do we value putting? Some weeks it's none. Some weeks it is some. And we're seeing these guys, okay, these are 13 on the stint meter, and these are bent grass or they're Bermuda, slick Bermuda or whatever it is. These are very, very slow, and you're gonna have to be patient here.
You mentioned Royal Troon, obviously, debuted back in 1878. And Kelly, as you mentioned with the weather, they say in Scotland, you can get all four seasons in one day. You're going to get cold, you're going to get fall, wind, you're going to get all four of them in one day sometimes at Scotland, because it just changes.
How was that playing that course when it first opened, Dave?
It was beautiful. I covered the first one. I had my little press hat on back in 1878.
with the little newsboy cap.
So let me ask you guys, when you look at the course setup and the design of it, Wes, as you just laid out there, do you think the number one skill that you'd want this week is chipping around the green, or if you're looking at iron play to get to those smaller greens?
Well, I started with iron play. Okay. I started with approach here. Because
almost always the most important, no matter what.
Because the greens are on the smaller side. And, you know, you're going to try to, you know, get as close to the target as you can, because I will tie that in with off the tee. Like, off the tee, I didn't do, like, distance or anything. I don't think that matters as much. I don't think you have to be a bomber here, even though it's, you know, 200 yards longer. So I did a little bit of good drives gained. And what that category means is when a player either hits the fairway or misses the fairway, you know, might get in that thick stuff, but still can hit the green in regulation. So good drives gained, I felt, was important. In terms of, like, around the green, scrambling, sand saves, you're going to get in bunkers. So you're going to have, you know, be a decent bunker player. You're going to have some little tricky chips around the green. So that's important. Bogey avoidance, I think, is also important, especially as you get to those final six holes, because you can pile them up on 13 through 18 here. So I thought that was important. Then I looked at strokes gained putting on slow greens. Like, you may have to go to different sites out there. Different stat sites will tell you that. It gets slower when the winds really blow, too. And then for context, I look at how players played on links courses, how they played in the Open Championship, how they played in the Scottish Open at the Dunhill Links, how they played in the Irish Open in recent years, because there are a few links spots on the DP World Tour schedule that you'll get some of the American players even going over and playing. So I didn't go as deep as I usually would because a lot of this is gut this week because you have these guys playing these wild schedules and now they all come together for just one of the few times of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, Kelly, and I'm with Wes on that. Certainly, I want to get guys that can strike it with those irons pretty well. And normally, that would lead me to a guy like Victor Hovland. And then I look at Victor around the greens. I go, oh, that leads me away from Victor Hovland.
Yeah, Victor's been a tough guy to figure out this year, and that is, I think that is a fair way to describe him.
Right?
At least for me this week, that was an easy pass. And I'll just, I think Wes and I looked at a lot of the same things. You definitely want to be careful if you are. We talk about this on the podcast a lot. Depending on where you're kind of running your stats through, depending on what sites you do, some sites will only take PGA Tour data. Other sites will involve DP World Tour, and some even with LIV. So with everybody playing together in a major this week, you do want to focus on some of those that do involve everybody. But I think off the tee is very important here this week. Did factor that in, like you said, Wes. Good drives, fairways gained. I think the accuracy extremely important this week.
It overrides the distance.
It overrides the distance for sure. And then approach I did factor in. One of the other things I did is, look, we got three par fives. It's a par 71. They are three of the holes to score on. But, man, in a major, becomes that much more important to be able to score those birdies on those types of holes. So I did factor in par fives. A lot of the other stuff you hit around the green, sand save, scrambling. And I think is if you're at home and kind of doing your own handicapping, and if you're going to do the whole, let me wait till Wednesday before I put bets in, I think if you see the weather get worse and worse, all I would do, Wes, is just weigh that stuff a little bit more heavily. Mm-hmm. The around the green, sand save, scrambling. With these greens being as small as they are, all it means is if it gets windier out there, it's going to be tougher and tougher to hit the greens.
Yeah.
So you're playing around the greens far more often. Bogey avoidance. And then with small greens like this, I do this every time, Wes, three putt avoidance on small greens, I think is important to factor in. That's pretty much everything that I punched into my model.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating, too. Like, I remember Jack saying, I remember in 1967, I got the worst end of the weather draw. These guys think about these things, too. Like, am I going to get the bad end of this weather draw? Because somebody's going to get screwed.
Yeah.
And you don't know, as you mentioned off the top here, Kelly, you don't know where that weather, when it's going to pop up, when it's going to be good. You just hope you get the better end of those draws on a Thursday and Friday. Then you hope on the weekend everybody plays the same golf course. All right, gentlemen, you put in the work. When we come back, let's get your best bets and what led you to them when we continue here on this special edition of Long Shots. And welcome back to this special edition of Long Shots, breaking down the Open Championship. I am Dave Ross alongside Kelly Bidwin and Wes Reynolds. Of course, wherever you get your podcast, be sure to check out Long Shots each and every week. Matt Brown will be back in this chair. No truth to the rumor that he's playing over in Royal Troon this week.
No, he was there like a month ago, Dave.
Just a month.
He doesn't need to go back, yeah.
Unbelievable. I want to be Matt Brown when I get older. Gentlemen, you put in all that work. I always think of Bill Parcells. That's why you lift all that damn weight. So you do all the work, and now you get to pay it off here. Hopefully with some winners and outrights, obviously, we know are hard to hit, but there's also placement markets out there. Wes, I want to know what got you to and made it to your card this week.
Yeah, the shortest price, 16-1, that being Colin Morikawa, who he's been close. He's trying to get that third major. Remember, he won here. Usually you need to be experienced to win here at the Open Championship, whatever course. He won on debut in 2021 at Royal St. George. Missed the last two cuts, but he's been close all season. Second going into the final round at Augusta, and then he shot 74 on Sunday. He was the co-leader with Xander Schauffele at the PGA at Valhalla, then just never got it going. Shot 71, finished fourth. And at the U.S. Open, he was in the top 10. Like, not right there to win, but top 10. And then he was kind of flat on Sunday. So he's had a real problem on Sunday. Same thing at the Scottish Open, too. Never really got it going. But I think this is the week where he could get it going, because what I really like about Morikawa is driving accuracy. Second on the PGA Tour this season. I think Aaron Rye is still first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to stay out of trouble off the tee. and, you know, give himself some chances at birdies here. We know on approach he's usually very good, that's the best part of his game. So Colin Morikawa, 16-1. John Rahm, 25-1, who I've kind of been targeting. When I saw that number, I go, if it reaches that, I'm going to grab it. And I went ahead and did it. He hadn't played poorly this year. I don't know. He's been going through some mental stuff. I think, you know, he's kind of like, he thought, I think, maybe jumping, making that jump in the offseason to live. Obviously, the financial fruits of that.
But sure.
I think he kind of thought this is going to be the impetus for like a reunification to get done, that he was going to be that driving force, and it hadn't happened yet. So, you know, a lot of that's weighing on his mind, but he led the field at Valderrama last week for greens and regulation. By the way, that's a very narrow course. Top three in two of the last three opens. He's won on links before, won a couple Irish Opens back at Lahinch, I know, was one of them. And Port Stewart was another one, 2017, 2019. So certainly has the pedigree here.
Very quickly on Rahmer, because I think we all thought, oh, you know, he's married, he's got a kid, he's calmer, he's a major champion. And then all of a sudden you see him on LIV. It's like old Spanish Rahm is coming back.
He still has that temper.
I mean, does that concern you at all?
No.
Or do you like that?
Because I think he compartmentalizes it better. It used to be it would affect him.
Yeah.
But now, you know, he cusses, he hits his club in the ground, and then he moves on. And you know, I think he is a little more mature about it. I just think it's been a little bit mental this year with the whole change and not playing the normal schedule. So I think he's going to show up, though, this week. Maybe the forgotten man, but now I see a lot of people are liking him, so hopefully we get a community winner.
Yeah, Wes, I'll jump in on a couple of these, because in the years of us doing this, I don't remember a tournament where we share as many plays. Well, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess we'll find out, but the Rahm's interesting. I will say, Dave, this is a... I mean, okay, he's got great open history, right? T3 last year, T34 2022, T3 2021, T11 2019. This is a world-class player still in John Rahm. I think what you've seen is you haven't seen him win on LIV yet, but no. He's been in that top 10 every single week. This is a little bit more of a number play for me. When I see a guy like this drift out to 25, 26-1, I was able to get today, I'm going in on Rahm at a number like this.
By the way, I have two of the same guys on both your cards, too, which is bizarre.
Well, pod play on that one.
Right, there
you
go.
But, you know, and it's probably my inner Wes Reynolds, because I listen to Wes so often when we do shows together. That Rahmer, once that 25-1 hit, it was almost an autoplay for me, Wes.
Yeah, I think so. Look, he's got the complete game, yep. I believe. I still think, you know, world rankings aside, not accumulating world ranking points, I still think he's one of the top three or four players in the world. He's up there, in my opinion, with Scotty and Rory. And, you know, maybe just because he hasn't won, you know, hasn't gotten that maiden yet on LIV, I think this is a time where he's going to win a major. He's still, I think, very much in his prime.
Wes, I don't know how you feel about this. I didn't bet him, but if you want to bet Brooks Koepka this week and basically say the same exact things that we just said about John Rahm, I don't have a problem. I mean, Brooks is out to like 40-1, over 45-1.
Yeah.
I mean, if you still feel like you can still get some of the old Brooks, that's a big number on Brooks Koepka. I don't have a problem with anybody.
I did consider. I will certainly play in a placement at the bare minimum on Brooks. But continuing on here, Tommy Fleetwood, I'm back again on him at the Open. I played a little bit less than that. I think I sent the wrong number. 28-1 is what I got. Six career DP World Tour victories against good competition, but he's never won on the PGA Tour nor major. But if you look at the Open, he's got a runner-up, a fourth, and a tenth all within the last 5 years. He's one of the best links players in the world. Straight hitter. Never really going to be like a birdie fest guy. Like, you know, these tournaments, regular tournaments, you got to shoot like 25 under. He's not going to win those. He just doesn't, you know, not really a huge birdie maker, but a guy that keeps it straight, a guy that embraces, you know, creativity and around the green. I think he's very good. So Tommy Fleetwood makes the card. Victor Hovland, this is just kind of going on a hunch here because I have no form to indicate this. 33-1. Look, I thought he was back at the PGA when he finished third, and then he missed the cut at the U.S. Open, hadn't done much since. But he's never been worse than 13th at the Open. Proven links player. I think, you know, because you don't have those tight lies necessarily around the greens, I think he could actually be better around the green, which has always kind of been his weakness But I think this week it could be a lot better than it usually is. Tony Finau, 50-1, and main reason, he made a putter change about a couple months ago. And ever since then, 18th, 17th, 8th, 3rd at the U.S. Open, and 5th in his last five starts. I was looking, because I was looking, you know, strokes gained total links golf courses. Over the last 10 years, he is the second best.
Yeah.
Wow. I couldn't believe that.
I would never have guessed
that. Yeah, because it never has felt like he's been right there for an open, but he's got the creativity to, I mean, he hits it all over the place and uses every orifice of the course, but I think that could serve him well this week. And then I did play Sungjae Im, 75-1, who has actually missed the cut in all three majors this year, but consistent form coming in. T3 at the Travelers, T12 at the Deer, T4 last week at the Scottish Open.
He played well last week.
He did. So I think he could go back again 75-1. I may add one or two more in the next 36 hours before we tee off very late Wednesday night on the West Coast, early Thursday morning on the East Coast. But that's my outright right now, and then I'll briefly get to the matchups. Morikawa over DeChambeau. DeChambeau would be a guy, and I like Bryson, and I think he's back.
Yeah.
But I don't think that this is the right place for him. I think in links golf, he has one top 30 in his career in the Open. This is just not his bag.
He was hitting driver today on one. I'm thinking, is that going to be the right strategy?
And he was hitting them long. And it's like, if you do that in practice rounds, because they were saying, whoa, it's a sight to behold. That's different, though, when you get into play and the weather gets bad.
Wind's in your face.
Yes. Tony Finau, -110 over Joaquin Niemann. Russell Henley, -110 over Siwoo Kim. Russell Henley is a guy that could be a sleeper here. He hits it dead straight, hits very good irons. He could be a sleeper here, as maybe could Austin Eckrode, who I'll have in a placement market, -115 over Eric Cole. He won, of course, earlier this year at PGA National for the Cognizant Classic, which you've seen some crossover in that event in the past for the Open. Guys that have succeeded, because that's one of the tougher courses on the PGA Tour. Very narrow. A lot more water, obviously, than they're going to see over here at Royal Troon. But Austin Eckrode, -115 over Eric Cole for me.
Kelly, I know you've got some similar plays as Wes. What do you like this week?
Yeah, I'll run through mine. I might have to finish up on the other side, but all good. Yeah, Morikawa. I bet him, Wes, I don't even know. What am I on him? 5 weeks in a row or something at this point. I'm basically, he's the best golfer of the PGA Tour that hasn't won yet this year. I'm pretty much going to be betting him, I think, every tournament here until he wins, because I think he's that close. You look at majors this year, T3 at the Masters, T4 at the PGA, T14 at the U.S. Open. He's played incredibly well at the majors. You went through his Open history. Okay, he's got two missed cuts, but he's also got a win. I think that's big. Where's his game at right now? You went through a little bit, Wes. One of the most accurate guys on the tour off the tee. That's what we're looking for this week. He's great on approach, always been a great on approach. Was struggling with that a little bit earlier in the season, but has really got that back together. Top 10 in bogey avoidance last 12 rounds. Around the green play has improved. The putting has improved. Morikawa is my favorite play this week outright, and then a pretty sizable top 10 bet on him. And then I played him in that matchup over Bryson DeChambeau as well. Not currently on my graphic, but that one did make my card. John Rahm, we already talked through.
Yep.
I love me some Tony Finau. I'm going to get into a little bit more on that, Dave, when we come back.
Okay.
I got to dive into a little bit more numbers on Tony, which has surprised me as much as you guys as well. When you picture Tony Finau, you don't picture a classic Link-style golfer, but I think he's a good fit this week.
Somebody learned how to putt. Looks like possibly with Tony Finau. So we'll get the rest of Kelly's card. I got to ask you guys about Tiger Woods as well. He is, can you believe it, in the field. Feels like nobody's talking about Tiger. We'll talk a little bit about that next here on Long Shots. We continue this special edition of Long Shots. Dave Ross, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidwin coming at you here as we break down the Open Championship at Royal Troon. Kelly, you were going through your card. You and Wes do have some similar names on it, but you have one that really intrigues me at the end of your card. But you're also on Sungjae, just like Wes.
Oh, I am, yes. Hey, just to recap so far, Colin Morikawa outright and then top 10. The Morikawa top 10, biggest bet I've made this week.
Wow.
Just for people tracking at home. I got a Morikawa problem right now. There's no doubt about that. John Rahm, a little bit more of a number play. We talked about that one already. Tony Finau, Wes, I know you're on him as well. You got a little bit better number than I did. 45-1, though. You're talking Tony in the 40s. I love it still. Finau, a top 20 bet for for me, matchups, outrights, everything. I've got a problem with Tony Finau this week. This is what we're talking about, recent results, fellas. T5 at the Travelers, T3 U.S. Open, T8 Memorial, T17 Charles Schwab, T18 the PGA. He's in form right now. What's his open history? Okay, missed the cut last year. T28 in 2022, T15 in 2021, third in 2019, T9 2018, T27 2017, T18 in 2016, where they played this same tournament at Royal Troon. Finau is a guy you got to look out for. Last 12 rounds, third on approach, 26th on opportunities game, third on par five scoring, second on bogey avoidance, fourth in scrambling, fifth on around the green play, 26th in putting. These are like Tony Finau numbers that have really, really come into form at the perfect time for him. So I really like Tony Finau this week, which is not something I was planning on heading into this before I really started digging into the tournament. So, Wes, I know we're both on him. Really like Finau. As you see, I played him in a couple matchups as well as a top 20 and then the outright. Tom Kim then. I'll get into my top 20 plays here. Tom Kim. I thought I was going to like him a little bit more than I ended up liking him this week, Wes. I don't know how you and I have both kind of been betting him here past 6 weeks or so. Ended up with a top 20 play on him. This is really more of a model play. He's got some great recent results. We saw him losing that playoff to Scheffler, T16 at the Scottish. He did miss the cut at the Rocket Mortgage, but that was right after that loss to Scheffler, so I'll give him a little bit of a break. Finished T2, in the Open last year. Kind of Morikawa light, right? He's been accurate off the tee, pretty good with the irons. The around the green game and putting will be tested for sure. Aaron Rye, I can't quit. He's there every week. It's really the guy. I've been burning money on him for years at this point. So finally, Aaron, yes, this is the year where we get to come
and
into form.
Shoot a hell of a round on Sunday just to get in.
That's
this
right.
Open
yes, yes, absolutely right.
But we're talking guys that are accurate off the tee. Aaron Rye's been as good as anybody, Dude's just on a heater right now, right? T4 at the Scottish, T7 John Deere, T2 at the Rocket Mortgage, T19 at the U.S. Open. Stat profile, this is really everything you're looking for in a guy. He's just not been tested as much as the big names at the top. So I took a 2-1 on a top 20, also played him in a matchup over Aaron Rye. And then the other one I know that was jumping out to you, Dave, last name on my outright card, Akshay Bhatia.
That one really caught my attention.
This is kind of just a talent play. Like, Wes, I don't know how you feel about him. I've bet him kind of lightly throughout this year. I mean, still a younger guy that we expect his game to come into a complete form at some point. But the things he does well right now, kind of what you're looking for at this course. So Flyer just played an outright on him. Didn't you want to go any deeper than that, but at triple digits, fun long shot for us.
And that's a big number for a guy that's already won on tour this year. Yep. He won the Valero Texas Open the week before the Masters. Was T5 at the Travelers. People forget with that playoff with Tom Kim and Scotty Scheffler up there in Hartford. The third man in that group was Akshay Bhatia. Mm-hmm. So he was in contention. And, of course, we know what happened. We know what happened at Detroit where he missed that putt and out on the playoff. Cam Davis wins again in Detroit, second time in his career. But, look. Brian Harman, if you remember last year, before winning the Open, I know he kind of came out of nowhere and he ran away with it.
Yeah, he did.
It's a 150-1 shot. You don't see that very often. Brian Harman was runner-up at the Travelers leading into that, so it wasn't like he had zero form, and Akshay does have a lot of form here. Akshay will be, T30, T40 type of a placement market play for me, but this is a decent long shot. This guy is already a two-time PGA Tour winner. He's not defending his Barracuda in the alternate event because he's obviously in this field.
Bigger fish to fry, yeah.
Yes, absolutely, but this guy, look, man, he looks like, he's so thin that he looks like a gust of wind is like going to blow him into the sea.
And what's it, 22 years young?
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about a kid that's just already we're developing before your eyes in the PGA Tour.
And he hits it all, and he'll hit it all over the place, but he's creative. He's a left-handed player, very smart, very cerebral, takes a lot of interesting angles in the greens, which you're going to have to do this week.
By the way, I'm on with you guys. I'm on Rahmer at 25-1. Same thing that you guys discussed. It was more of a price play for me. I am on Sungjae Im. Love the form that he's under coming out of the Scottish Open
and
last week.
And getting a good price on him, too.
75-1.
That was way longer than I thought he was going to be.
Now, let me make a case for one guy that's not on either one of y'all's cards, and I understand why. Because when I look up the history of the Scottish Open and winners that win on the Scottish Open and then win the British Open the next week, the list is Phil Mickelson. That's the end of the list. It's been done one time in the history of golf where you go back-to-back, winning the Scottish and then winning the Open Championship. I did play Robert McIntyre this week at 41 to 1, rather. And the reason why I played him is after getting that win just last month on the PGA Tour, he said, hey, I'm sorry, Detroit, I'm not going to the Rocket Mortgage. I'm going home to party.
As he should.
And he did, right? And then he gets himself back to, as he said, to win the one championship that he regards more than any major, and that's the Scottish Open for a young Scotsman like he is. Now I'm sure he partied Sunday night. Okay, so now he's got two wins in a month on the PGA Tour. And for me, I think he goes, I'm still in Scotland. I'm still at Royal Troon. I think this is all gravy. There's no pressure on him anymore. And he's uber talented. At that number, I couldn't pass it up.
It's only about a 2-hour drive, too, by the way. So it's not like he has to catch a flight. But look, I can't necessarily argue against that because he's in good form. And 40 to 1, like I saw on Sunday, there was a book that was repricing him at like 20. I'm like,
no, thank you.
Not against this field. But look, maybe that's all it takes for Robert McIntyre. You know, he got stymied last year when Rory hit that 2-iron, made that birdie on 18, and this year he did the same thing to Adam Scott, Robert McIntyre did. Got a fortunate break, would say, on that drop on the par 5, but still had to hit the shot to 6 feet and make the eagle, so I'm not dead set against it. I'm not fading him necessarily.
What are we getting? 40? You got
41 to 1.
I don't mind that. I don't know where he showed up in your stuff, Wes, but I would say he's kind of 20s for me as far as ratings this week. So, you know, getting 40 to 1, I think that's still a decent number.
Now, you can get 475 to 1 on some guy named Eldrick Woods. Now, he was asked at his press conference about some comments that Colin Montgomery said, where he said, you know, what's the Colin, paraphrasing, what's the point of Tiger being here? He should retire. What is the point of this process? Tiger, and I know, Wes, you heard it too, he fired back and said, in summary, well, you know, I've won this tournament, so I'm exempt till I'm 60. He's not. I mean, there was some vim and vigor in his comeback to Colin Montgomery. And when I hear that, Wes, I hear a guy that still doesn't want to become a ceremonial golfer.
Yeah. Yeah, look, and Monty, you know, was saying that the quote got taken out of context.
Well, did it?
I don't know that, but but look, that's always the thing that hurts Monty in terms of his great career is that he never won a major.
That's it.
And you know, and Tiger certainly fired back. So he says, as a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Colin is not.
Bam.
End of discussion.
Shots fired. And I look at that, Kelly, and it just says to me that whether we think he's done or not, he doesn't believe he's done.
Yeah, which we all love. I mean, come on. If you love golf, like, we all love that. Like, that is – I don't want to say I'd be willing to lose all my money, but I mean, if there's one guy who's going to ruin my open betting card, let it be Tiger Woods.
One thing if he never wins again, but it's another thing. You don't want to see him totally as a broken down old man.
Right.
You don't want to see that. And, you know, he said his fitness is better, but look, this is going to be a little tougher walk though, because it gets cold and rainy and nasty. You know, it's different when it's hot and you got a flat course. And he's totally fit to do that for four rounds. You know, we shall see this week.
That part does concern me a bit, Wes, because remember how much he kept saying that? What was that at the U.S. Open about? Yeah. It's hot. Like, that helps me. He kept bringing that up.
It gets cold, nasty, and windy, and that's a slog, man. I see most shops haven't matched up against Phil. Phil about $1.25, $1.30 favorite, so like +105, +110 on Tiger.
Yeah, weather is for certainly when you get older, don't I know it? It is. Weather can be a factor out there in the golf course for you, not just form. Phil is in the tournament, as you mentioned, 17 live guys in all?
17 in all, yes. 158 total in this field.
So, gentlemen, it should be a great 4 days. Will you all be losing sleep over the next 4 days, I will be?
More than likely. We'll be firing up the Peacock overnight. You know, maybe catch an episode to Days of Our Lives before we watch the Open or something, but firing
Peacock
up the Peacock,
coffee maker.
USA, and then NBC, so all the different coverage. May try to find a pirate feed of Sky Sports over in the UK, because I don't believe they take commercial breaks. So.
As long as I can figure out when this thing starts with the time change, then I will be waking up in the middle of the night to watch this golf as well. Appreciate you guys letting me hop in here on Long Shots for Matt this week. Been a lot of fun.
Dave,
good
knocked
to have
it out
you,
of the park.
Dave, Super Dave.
Hole in one.
You guys are the best. Check out Long Shots wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you next time here on Long Shots.